Have you ever noticed how even minor disagreements can quickly turn into full-blown battles in the church? One prefers drums in the worship service and the other wants just an organ. Or maybe the issue is traditional hymns versus contemporary music. The point is, on issues where the Bible doesn't give a clear directive, how do we move forward in unity? Stephen Davey will give you practical advice from God's Word in this lesson called Meat or Salad.
There's a section of a road near my home that slopes down rather steeply between two ridges, and it creates a little valley. And at the bottom of the valley and to the left is a large pond. Often in the early morning, fog covers the road down there, and it's like driving into a gray mist. It reminds me that there are many areas on the road of life that Scripture doesn't directly touch on, areas where secondary issues aren't very clear. Yet, opinions and preferences, maybe even convictions on these matters are still important. In fact, they matter a great deal in life. Sometimes the Christian's journey is like driving through a fog, and it's difficult to see the road in front of you, much less stay in between the lines. You got to slow down, and you have to stay alert. I like to call these areas and issues in the Christian's life gray areas or doubtful things. In other words, they aren't black or white. For instance, there isn't a verse in the Bible about what to wear to church, or what instruments are acceptable in a church service, or how you should educate your children in elementary school. I remember reading about an international missions conference where a woman from the Far East was upset that other believers were wearing their shoes indoors. Believers from Eastern Europe were a little offended at other Christians who had gold wedding rings. Another was upset at the missionary kids who were allowed to play games outdoors on Sunday afternoon. Now, I'm not suggesting that any of those opinions are right or wrong. I can say that the Bible doesn't specifically address those issues. And here's where it gets us into trouble. While our opinions on these matters don't determine our future in heaven or hell, they can affect our fellowship with believers on earth. What do you do when you're confronted with these gray areas in life, when other believers have strong, different opinions than you do? Well, we've been sailing through the book of Romans on our wisdom journey, and Paul now begins a rather lengthy section here in chapter 14 on these questionable areas, these gray areas of life, and specifically how to get along with other Christians who have different opinions. Let's dive in here as Paul writes in verse 2. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Now, evidently, some Jewish Christians were eating vegetables only, not because they thought eating meat was wrong, but because the meat was probably not kosher. It hadn't been prepared according to Jewish law in the presence of a rabbi. They'd come to the conclusion that meat shouldn't be on the menu at all. That is, no hamburgers, no steaks. You know, dedicated Christians will only eat vegetables. Well, this was actually dividing the church. You had the salad side and you had the steak side in the church. Well, Paul's inspired guidance is going to surprise both sides. He isn't going to settle things so that one side wins the argument. In fact, both sides are about to be challenged. But what Paul does here is give both sides several steps that will help us navigate these gray areas of life and in a way that doesn't divide the church, but unify it. Now, the first step is to start with what I'll call acceptance. Paul writes now back in verse 1, "As for the one who is weak in the faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions." Welcome him. The word proslambano means to take to oneself, to receive into fellowship or companionship. So the starting point in any disagreement is to remember that, well, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We belong to one another by our common faith in Christ. Now here in verse 1, Paul emphasizes that we need to be concerned about the one who is weak in the faith. There's actually a definite article in the original text before the word faith. This indicates the person is weak in his understanding of the faith, that is, the full truth of the gospel. So you could paraphrase Paul as saying here, welcome the one who is weak, perhaps young, in their understanding of the gospel of grace. Don't bring him in just to straighten him out and argue. Welcome him first as a family member. Now, the second step in navigating gray areas is to simply refuse to argue. Now, this is difficult because, frankly, we like to argue, don't we? Instead, here in verse 2, Paul simply says, one person believes he may eat anything while the weak person eats only vegetables. And then in verse 1, he says, welcome that weak person, not argue with him. If Paul were like many Christians today, he would have said something like, you know, those salad people need to start their own church, or those hamburger people need to go to another church. See, gray areas of differing opinions, as far as God's word is concerned, should never be allowed to divide the church. That means we're going to have to recognize the difference between doctrine and opinion. Now, the third step here in navigating gray areas of life is to, simply put, adjust our attitude. Paul writes here in verse 3, let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. The expression here, to despise someone, actually means to look down on someone. You might not argue with those you disagree with in public, but maybe you're going to criticize them in private. And did you notice that Paul says here that this works both ways? Both sides can be critical and arrogant. Both sides can look down on each other. Both sides need an adjustment in their attitude. Now, keep in mind, Paul is going to bring up this here in this chapter that both sides have valid points. Both sides have valid concerns. So winning the argument is not as important as adjusting our attitudes with humility and grace. It might even mean that we keep our opinion to ourselves. And that's going to be difficult, isn't it? Well, there's one last step here in these opening verses. Here it is. Remember who's in charge. Paul writes here in verse 4, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Paul is effectively saying here, stop and think about your judgmental attitude. What right do any of us have to judge the personal opinions of other believers? Now remember, beloved, Paul isn't talking about doctrine. He's not talking about sin or sinful behavior. The Bible actually tells us to judge one another and discipline one another for unrepentant sin, wrong doctrine. Paul is talking here about those questionable areas, those gray areas, those matters of conscience, what's on the menu for someone to eat. Let's not pass judgment on one another in those areas of life, especially since Paul writes here, the other person is the servant of the living Lord just as much as you are. His opinion is just as valid as yours. The truth is, we don't have to answer to one another in matters of opinion, personal preference. Just keep in mind, we will answer to God. I recently read about Charles Spurgeon, the famous London pastor in the 1800s, traveling to a pastor's conference. There were several pastors traveling on the train, and one of the pastors saw him board the train and find his seat in the comfortable first-class section of the train. Well, this other preacher was back in third class with all the other pastors, and they started criticizing Spurgeon's use of money. And one of the pastors finally decided to give Spurgeon a little lecture. So he made his way up to Spurgeon and demanded, Mr. Spurgeon, what are you doing riding up here in first class? We are riding back there in third-class seats taking care of the Lord's money. Spurgeon replied with his usual wit, "Well, I'm here in first class taking care of the Lord's servant." Well, after I read that, I told the elders at my church that I ought to fly first class from now on, and well, they didn't agree with my opinion. That's okay. Well, we've got to stop here because we're out of time. We'll pick up this very important issue of gray matters when we set sail again on our wisdom journey. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Remember, the issues that truly matter are the things clearly revealed in Scripture. The gospel of Christ, salvation, and the importance of holiness. Let's focus on that shared foundation and respectfully handle our differing opinions. When we choose unity over division, we honor God and strengthen our witness to the world. This is the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Stephen is the president of Wisdom International. In addition, Stephen serves as the founder and president of Shepherd's Theological Seminary. Shepherd's is a fully accredited graduate school that Stephen launched to train men and women for service to Christ. In fact, it was recently named in the top 5 fastest-growing evangelical seminaries in the United States. If you or someone you know is interested in pastoral ministry or seminary training, I encourage you to consider STS. There's a very special opportunity I want to make you aware of. The school now has the opportunity for men pursuing the pastorate to receive a Master's of Divinity degree at no cost. There are some requirements that you would have to meet. For example, you need to be a full-time student and plan to graduate in 3 years. You need to study in person at the Cary, North Carolina campus, and you need to have it as your plan to pursue full-time pastoral ministry upon graduation. If that's you, and if you'd like to learn more, visit wisdomonline.org/STS. That link will take you to the school, and it'll give you the answers you need as well as contact information if you'd like to call. Do that today. Then make plans to join us back here next time to continue traveling along the wisdom journey.